The beauty of it all is the beauty-obsessed big sister you've always wanted. Hosted by Vic Hope with Superdrug, The Beauty of It All takes a backstage look at the beauty industry, the issues facing it, and all the new news you've been craving, plus a whole host of celebrity guests and industry experts.
I want girls to know that just because I've been on this, like, glamorous show, my life isn't just suddenly fixed just because I've got blue tick next to my name.
Join us as we discuss issues such as how veganism is transforming the beauty world.
I didn't realise that so many of the brands that I'm using on my face are vegan anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Search The Beauty of It All now on Acast, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Piers Linney. Join me for Rethinking Business, a new podcast series brought to you by NatWest. Let's face it, the path to business success is rarely straightforward. That's why in this series, we're hearing from businesses who are thinking differently. My guest this week is Ade Hassan, founder of Nubian Skin.
It's just the everyday, like, getting on with it and the grit that that takes, because 99% of it is not glamorous.
That's Rethinking Business by NatWest. Subscribe now.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. The Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hot dang! It's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. Hava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood. She only uses her power for good. Jamie. She has no last namey.
Ashley Savoni. She don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
What you talking about, Willis? It's Shauna Gillis.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Hit a homer with Jeffrey Bomer. Hannah. God, I love that banana. Anderson.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
Lulu Simon, Su Studio.
Give them hell, Miss Noel. Kelly Stump, the Stump Master.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
We're all in with Julia Conlin.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Nancy Cease and DeSisto. We love you guys.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Yale Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam. You can also find me over on the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast. And as usual, here I am with my gorgeous co-host, the talented creator of the cartoon, The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, you can find on LUTube. Hi, Ben.
Hi, what's going on?
Oh my God, okay, everybody, brace yourself. It's an onslaught of live shows. We are going so many effing places. Okay, are you ready?
You can do it. Here we go.
Tomorrow, guess what's going on sale? Chicago. Isn't that crazy? Whoa. It's going to be amazing. Tickets are already going crazy for Chicago in our pre-sales, our Patreon pre-sales, so be sure to get that. Also, you're going to be able to get tickets for Carrboro, which is Rally, and then Richmond and Fort Lauderdale. Can you believe it? We're going to all those places in October, so go get your tickets for those. And in Fort Lauderdale, I think we're going to have a very special Floridian join us, which I haven't even told Ben yet.
Really?
So we're not going to tell you until you guys get to the show. Well, I'm going to tell Ben, but not you guys. So we're doing that. And then let's see what else. We've got a second show in Philly that we added because the first one sold out really fast. So thank you, Philadelphia. That's in December. So go get your tickets for the second show. We're doing a late show that night. And so, you know, those are always crazy because we're, you know, loopy by that time. So come to that. And then are you ready? In July, we're going to Cleveland and Baltimore. So get your tickets. That's at the end of next month, everybody. Go. Summer fun. And then we're going to Charlotte, Nashville, Indianapolis, New York City. Low ticket alert for that second show there. The first one sold out. St. Louis and Seattle, everybody. Also, you can go get merch. We've got 3 t-shirts right now for about 2 more weeks. We've got Dorinda, Team LVP, who's now disappeared off the face of the earth, and Martini Medicine Michael. Those are all available for a limited time. And we just added a Discord server to our Patreon, which is where you guys can talk and have fun. It's like a big chat room. Everybody's partying in there. And as usual, we are doing our live streams, which you can find videos of at Crappens On Demand. This week, we did Below Deck Med, and we're going to do Real Housewives of New York. Those are super fun to do, like little live shows on the video. And those are all available at Patreon, Crappens On Demand, as well as our bonus episodes. This week was the Project Runway finale, and next week we're going to do a Big Brother cast rundown. So those of you into that. And I think that covers our plugs, eh, Ben?
You did such a good job, Ronnie. I'm so proud of you.
Well, thanks.
It's a lot to take in, and thanks to everyone who listens to that every day. But it's really important for us to get the word out, because sometimes people just don't hear it. So you never know. You never know if David's going to tune in. I tune in every day waiting for him to call. But I'm happy.
I'm thin now. Who cares?
I can't wait for Shannon Bedore to come back. But in the meantime, we have Southern Charm.
Southern Charm, original flavor.
Yeah, classic Southern Charm. This was a very special Southern Charm. You know why?
Why?
Because we got a Square Dance remix of the theme song during the previous leads. Did you notice that?
Yeah, it was a great remix. I have to say, all the music in this episode was really on point.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see. Let's get an RV and drive to Nashville. He's got promise. Yeah, he's got some shine.
I'm trying to be a fiddle in the background, but I'm not very good at it. I'm trying to be like a little like now do-si-do with Trixie Monocle. Do-si-do with a gosh.
And then Eliza Limehouse is like, if I die today, I want good relationships with everyone because I almost died on a plane. Times have changed, don't you know? Don't you know? Kick.
Grab your partner.
I just like that they put those lyrics after Eliza saying, I just stayed alive, so I want to be nice now. It's like, times have changed.
I feel like Eliza's a big bust. I'm sorry to say this, because episode 1, she just came in as this roaring disaster, and we're like, ugh, just when we were afraid that, you know, once two and a half of the big villains, if you include JD, have been taken out of the show, like, we're going to need a new villain. And then in comes Eliza, I almost said Doolittle, but she is sort of Eliza Doolittle, as in she does little.
As in privileged ass.
Yeah. So she comes in just so heinous in that first episode. I was like, see, like, this show always finds the villain. And then she kind of just, like, drops out, and now she's on a I Want to Make Nice with Everyone tour. It's not right. Something's gone wrong here, okay?
Well, you know what's gone wrong is that she missed that plane that almost killed her, and now she wants to live, okay? So now she's going to be nice. Can you decide to be a better person after the season is over? I don't need you to have, like, a near-death experience right at the beginning of your television career, ma'am.
Yeah, I feel like her awful side was actually killed by the Final Destination monster, aka death, and like she somehow survived, and that's not fair.
Well, even like, the Final Destination monster doesn't want to go to a plantation.
Final Destination monster's like, it's 2019.
Yeah, that's depressing as fuck. I'm not going there.
Yes. Your own. So unfortunately, she has a new lease on life.
Boo.
Which is like, ew,
and that doesn't mean I want her killed in a plane crash. It just means I wish that all of that near-death stuff had happened maybe at a different time. You know, this is about me and my wants. Okay.
Or if she, I wish she weren't like capable of having perspective. So like that's very frustrating. But also like part of me thinks that if she were in the mix with the gang a little bit more, that maybe her awful side would come out again. But all she's been doing is like hanging out in like Mount Airy Lodge or whatever her plantation's called, and just like being with her shitty father who has affairs, and, you know, petting old Strom the dog who loves segregation, you know?
Yeah, Jesus Christ, this show. I mean, really, there's just so much. My main note on this, watching it, was like, God, these girls are turning into Real Housewives girls. It's like the minute they decide that they're mad at someone. okay, Catherine made me mad, so I'm going to say she's dead to me, and then I'm going to go on screen with Eliza and then bitch about Catherine. Like, what the hell are you, what the hell are you thinking?
I know. It's, well, yeah.
I don't like that, especially after we had Girl Power season. You know, it's like, okay, let's buddy up to her. You know, I just think it's very convenient that suddenly they're butting up to Eliza Limehouse when they're mad at Catherine. It's just so Real Housewives, which also I love Real Housewives. So, you know, I don't know, I'm saying it in a complainy tone, but that's just how I talk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's how I say I love you. I'm like, I love you.
I was like ready to pile on with you, but then I was like, I don't know if I'm mad at it being like Real Housewives.
I know. Also, I was like, what are you complaining about, you idiot? My inside voice is like, shut up, stupid.
Also, there have been some murmurs online like, oh, this season's boring. So first of all, we're coming off the heels of like a really intensely good season. And also people have to remember, this is kind of the way Southern Charm normally is. It's just that last season was so good because like, the combination of Ashley being a mega villain, Thomas just being a pig, and like the prime of like, or not the prime, but like when Me Too is really fresh in everyone's minds, it just sort of like energized everyone. And so now we're back to sort of a normal season, but this is like fairly standard Southern Charm stuff. It's, you know, people just sort of doing, just being rich and listless.
Well, what they're missing is the misogynist. They're missing, well, we've got Shep, but you know, Shep is, we need like an old misogynist who's like ingrained into society and wears really tight pants. And I nominate Eliza Limehouse's Rush Limbaugh lookalike father.
Yeah.
You know, that misogynist fuck. You know, let's get him on there. Why did we hire Eliza? She's 10 years old. Get her father on there.
Yeah, well, I think that we need, I think maybe they're taking a season off. They're like, let's just like have a palate cleanser. Let's clear the phlegm, as it were. And then next season we'll bring on a good old boy. Because you're right, it does need like a full-on good old boy. Shep is a good old boy, but he's not, he's a little, he's slightly more enlightened than like the standard good old boy. He is, he really is.
I don't think so. He's not enlightened at all. He's a fucking caveman who just like knows big words because of his education.
Well, he is a caveman who knows big words, but I mean,
he's educated, like, but he's not enlightened.
Well, there are a lot of good old boys who are educated and not enlightened. I just think that, I don't think Shep is like, he is a significant improvement over someone like Thomas Ravenel, at least so far. I mean, you never know. Here I am. I'm saying this, and the next season, it's like, oh, Shep accused of this.
He's on his way. He's on his way. He's on his way, Shep. He's on his way over that Ravenel bridge of life.
The Shep bridge. He's gonna have a Shep bridge.
Like, there's the rainbow bridge where your dead pets go to, and then there's the Ravenel bridge where southern douchebags go over. You know, it's like by the time they're at the end, their nuts are down to their knees, and they're in tight white pants, and they're saying, "Maya hands."
Well, listen, we went to that restaurant, Paul's, and we saw a lot of potential Thomas Ravenel replacements that were there in Charleston. A lot. So there's a lot of pickings to be had.
Yeah, so we believe in you. Okay, so let's start this recap. We open with a close-up of a sign that says Art Mecca of Charleston. Now look, if you have to put Art Mecca on your sign, you're not it. Okay? Just saying that right now.
Yeah, it's like calling yourself cool.
Most popular podcaster of 2019. That's going to be my new t-shirt.
Meanwhile, it does say that, like, I think on our website, the wildly popular Watcher Crappin's website.
Well, maybe it's a quote from somebody else, okay? We're quoting Entertainment Weekly. How dare you?
Well, it's one thing to, like, have it on your website. It's another to have it in your actual name, like Best Bravo Podcast.
Which I think we do. Okay, so Art Mecca of Charleston. The point is, Danny sold a painting.
She sold a painting. It reminds me of like, did you ever watch afternoon cartoons after school? And there'd be these.
Yes, of course.
I don't know. I don't know if you're like
a monster.
Watching, well, I don't know if you're watching like Elaine Stritch videos. So
those two. No, back then we didn't have YouTube. Okay, I was stuck with after school. I would just revoice everything in a Elaine Stritch voice.
Yeah, but there would always be commercials, at least in New York, for like starving artists' emporiums or whatever. Did you ever get those there in El Paso?
No, we had a lot of Viva El Paso, and like the Junior League is having a Christmas fair.
Well, in New York, it was always like, come down to like the convention center and it's the Starving Artist Emporium. Come find art. It was all just like landscapes, you know? And of course, as a kid, I didn't even understand what starving artists meant. I would always literally be like, why doesn't someone feed these artists? And I'm not even joking. I'm like, why are they starving? But I feel like that's what poor Dani reminds me of. Like, she's just in one of these starving artist things and someone's like, here, I'll pay $10 for your painting.
Yeah.
Poor girl. Meanwhile, she probably sold like $5,000 worth. I'm like, she sold $10.
Yeah, she's not starving, all right.
She's going to hate us.
So then we count, who, Dani?
Yeah.
She's giving a stink face right now. She's
yeah.
Like,
she's like trying to laugh, to like roll with the punches, but secretly she's like, but it kind of hurts.
Yeah, ouch. But in real life, you know, she's a talented artist. Like, what do you do with that? You know? Like, I can't do anything with you, Dani. You need to fuck somebody inappropriate.
she dated Chef.
Or dated do Chef. Something extremely bitchy, which you do in this episode. So you come through eventually, you know? It's like I'm psychic. Okay, so Danny's selling a paint. By the way, we're in, like, second two of this recap.
Literally second two.
So now that they've moved New York and we're not recording two in a day, it's like, hey, let's just take 5 hours. Hey, what do you think of the new Stroopwafel flavor of Blizzards?
Oh, I haven't heard about that.
Okay, so Dani sells a painting, and then Chelsea is putting like flea medication or something on her dog, and Catherine's getting spray tanned, and Craig is fluffing pillows and eating old popcorn off the table. Now, who do you have most in common with those people? Obviously, I have the most in common with Craig.
Craig, unfortunately.
I'm
definitely
a big
Craig.
I'm a big hunter of, like, lost peanut M&Ms in the couch. Like, some people look for change, but if I get really hungry on a diet, I'm certain, because I know that there's at least one in there. So I get you, Craig.
I'm definitely the person who, if I have people over, and then, like, it's 1 a.m, and I say, I'm too tired, I'm going to clean this up in the morning, and then I go out there to clean up, and then I'm like, I wonder if this chip is still good, and I eat it, and, like, that is me. I wanted to make fun of Craig, but the truth is, I am Craig.
Oh, archaic device. So then we go over to the show starts. The real show starts with Patricia and Mike. Michael's driving Patricia. And we just see her saying, Whitney's been home and I looked in the fridge for lunch and we have nothing but plant-based, gluten-free, tree-hugging animal patent.
Left wing liberal nonsense food.
He has a fake bacon in there called woke. What is that?
There's also a hat in there that says Renob. I don't even understand what that's doing in there. Michael takes her through the McDonald's drive through and he orders a cheeseburger with no tomato, and McDonald's is like, no tomato comes with it. I was like, oh, wow. Wow, McDonald's certainly has a lot to say today.
Well, I'm glad that they did, because when we did the preview and they showed this scene, that's what I said. I was like, if you go there every day and that's a regular thing, you should know that there is not a tomato. And then you said, but there's ketchup and that is tomato. So you see, this solves our fight. Yeah.
I did say that.
Yeah, so
Michael says that.
Yeah, but they didn't show this in the preview, but he's like, you don't put ketchup on it? And they're like, okay, so you're saying you don't want ketchup? And he's like, no, because that's a tomato. And I was like, oh, bitchy maid. I love a bitchy maid, girl. He's like the Southern Charm version of Flo from, the Jeffersons.
There's also, like, he could have also just said, no ketchup or tomato, please. Which would have just, like, solved all of this.
Or just said no ketchup. You know, why do you got to be fancy? Just say, Jesus Christ. So then they park at McDonald's, and he goes to the back and, like, does white tablecloth service for her in the back.
Yeah, because she has, like a little, like, American Airlines pull-down tray back there. So he puts out a white tablecloth and pours her a glass of wine. She's like, a soupçon, please.
Here's my three guilty pleasures. A McDonald's hamburger, a hot dog from Costco, and tacos from Taco Bell. I would prefer those things to Toulouse Chanson from Pavlou.
You know what? Like, I loved that she gave a shout out to the Costco hot dog. That is so
she
special.
She loves
to
that
me.
Place. She goes in there and does like demonstrations at the Costco with the
really?
Hot dog. Yeah, she loves it. She does Instagram stories from there. I've seen them. She's like, here yeah. we are, the Paris of the South, Costco.
I haven't been to Costco in forever, and it makes me so sad. My membership has actually lapsed because, well, it is a little too far, although I was actually just gallivanting all around Glendale yesterday, so I was near it. But, you know, the apartment that I moved into, it's like it's got one of those – it's like a fancy fridge, but then it's also annoyingly not useful. So it's like got those French door situations. So you have like this – tall vertical freezer with like tiny little shelves, like narrow shelves, so it's hard to like stack things. And same with the refrigerator part. So like if I want to go to Costco and get a whole bunch of stuff, there's like not room because the fridge is not laid out. Like I like it with a freezer on top or on bottom and then a big old door. I hate the double door situation unless you get one of those like big like truly fancy fridges. So the point is this: I haven't really been able to go to Costco.
So you feel like your fridge, like Patricia does about paper napkins. She's like, what are these? And he's like, they're napkins. She's like, a paper napkin.
Meanwhile, she's eating this burger out of like, you know, tissue paper, you know?
Yeah. So then we go over to Cameron and Shep. Cameron's coming over to Shep's house. And she's bought tacos from the 99 cent menu. Who is sponsoring this show?
Yeah. Who is?
Sodium nitrates, that's who.
Yeah, heart disease. So Shep cleaned his house because he's putting it up for a listing. Like, how many times does this dude have to sell? I mean, because I don't feel like he's flipping anything. He's just building and selling. You know, one thing I really can't stand on reality TV is when people move from house to house to house and make it a storyline, like Bethany. Like, you can move. I don't care. But I don't want to have to sit through the same drama every single time. Because you're doing it to yourself. You could just also stay put.
Yeah, it's just because he's rich and he doesn't have a job.
Yeah, it gives him something to do.
Yeah, Zillow is a powerful drug, I'm telling you. You know, if I was rich, I'd move all the time because I'm on Zillow every day. Like, that's my piece. You know, I'm like, I'm going to see what house prices are like.
I know. And you, because of you, I'm now on Zillow because I never even really cared. And now, but now I'm like, well, let me see what Ronnie's looking at. Oh my God, I want a house now.
Yeah. But you know, I can't afford a house, obviously. So I stay put. But stupid Shep just can move whenever he, you know, there's a lot of reasons to hate Shep this year. I'm just saying. Okay. So she's like, this is clean. He's like, yeah, I had it clean to show it, gosh. But I don't know if I'm putting the cart before the horse as far as getting rid of it before I'm really interested in someone else. I mean, I have to put stuff in storage. You're not doing it anyway, okay? You know, it's like a team of maids coming in there.
Yeah, exactly. And so he's now considering buying a lot across the street and building on it. And Shep's like, ah, gosh, I believe Mark Twain said it, buy land because they ain't making more of it. Was that Mark Twain or was that the Vietnam War documentary? Gosh.
Maybe that Sun Sulu fellow said it or whoever.
Maybe it was Glenn Close. Gosh.
So she's like, well, just sell it furnished and you don't have to move stuff out. And he's like, but I like that couch. It's been good to me. She's like, what if they took a black light to that couch? Which is horrifying. I think that should be a new Disney movie. Just like a new Pixar movie. You know, just a black light on Shep's couch.
Like that's just how Pixar movies should start. With that little lamp, it goes bouncing down. It bounces down and then looks down at Shep's couch. And then like it like illuminates like a whole bunch of sperm doing a chorus line.
Yeah, totally. There's only one sperm that can like walk straight. They're all like drunk, sad sperm.
What do you call that guy? What do you call those dances from the 40s, whatever? The overhead shots, like the...
Oh, Busby Berkeley?
Busby Berkeley. I'm just imagining a lot of sperm just doing a whole big Busby Berkeley scene shapes. On the couch. Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Or they're doing an Esther Williams... Like the sperm's just rising up in a tower out of the couches.
Yeah. And so she's like, what if we took a black light? And he says, I haven't had as much sex on that couch as the other one. And she's like, gross, you have sex on the couch? I'm Cameron. And he's like, come on, you've never gotten so turned on before that you're like naked as a dang newborn? And she's like, Like she's trying to laugh, but he's so got her. And she,
yeah.
And he says, so you're just like, let's go to bed and do it like our parents. And she keeps trying to laugh, but the thought of having sex anywhere else is like horrifying to her, you know?
Yeah.
And I like it.
Yeah. I just like that Shep doesn't want to sell the house furnished because he has so many memories on the couch. And he's like, I don't want to get rid of the couch because I got so many memories. And his reasoning is not, I don't want to give this couch to someone else because I've had sex on it so much. It's actually crusty.
Yeah. It's like it's about to walk itself out, so I want to give it away. He's like, no, I have memories there. And I just thought, you might have memories there, but how many people have walked away from that couch having no memory at all?
Oh,
that's
whoa.
The question.
Dark.
Sorry. So I'm anyway, watching Shep. What do you want from me?
Well, so then after this like pleasant badinage about the house, finally Cameron's like, let's get back to what I do best, gossiping. So, well, I heard that there was a big fight between Catherine and Danny. So Shep tells her about how Catherine and Danny fought at Craig's party. And Shep's like, gosh, I need to apologize. I called her a child. Or as Mark Twain would say, those who have immaturity are those who have not.
It's like, this is why I'm not close to her. I was like, no, it's not. It's because you took the side of the old fucking rapist for years and years and years until the old fucking rapist was finally caught. And then you looked like a fucking asshole. So you came on and tried to pretend that you were nice to Catherine. And now the second you have a chance to bitch about her behind her back, you're doing it, Cameron. Okay, I see you.
Yeah, I thought that was very funny. After all of last season of like, I really judged her, prematurely. And now all of a sudden she's like, yeah, well, this is why I keep her at arm's length. Because, you know, if anyone gets close to her, they get thrown under the bus. I'm like,
yeah, thrown under the bus. What did she even do? She didn't text you guys back about a vacation. Like, can we just all calm down for a second? So he's like, oh, she's mad at me. And she's like, well, Danny has been really good to her. And by the way, she's showing at Mecca of Art. So.
Gosh, I'll have to make a pilgrimage there. Get it? So, Catherine, speaking of Catherine, we then go over to her. You think I'm just not going to make a mecha pun? So, we go over to Catherine at her place, and she is like putting out fancy ass china and fancy ass silverware. And we learned that she inherited it from her late grandmother, who always would put out china and left it for her. So that way she would learn to cook and make a nice home. And she's like, well, I never really did that. So, And basically she's doing that wacky thing where she's putting delivery in china.
Yeah. She is, but man, some people, I'm like, I'm not buying this. But with Catherine, I buy it because she opens her trash, and she doesn't even know how to use the trash bag. Okay, she just throws her trash loose into the fucking trash and then stomps it with her actual shoes, like her expensive shoes. I was like,
well,
oh,
and
my
this
God.
Was this was hard to watch because the little trash bin was in kind of like a slidey drawer thing. So like you slide open the drawer and the trash bin's there. So she was stomping down with her foot. And like, and this thing is like dangling over, it's like dangling over nothing. And like, she was like a second away from just severing that entire drawer off the unit. And I was like, no, don't do that. Don't do that, Catherine. Let's not that right now.
So then if that's not disturbing enough, we get the eyebrows of her new boyfriend. I mean, does that guy have like a night job doing drag? Because those are some drag queen eyebrows where they're all the way almost shaven and then a little line is drawn in. I think that would be the best twist ever if he was like the best drag queen in Charleston.
You know, I didn't notice that, but there's a certain manicured look that you might find in certain populations in New Jersey, for instance, that maybe that's an homage to. So, sort of like Jersey Shore kind of vibe, but he comes in and he's like, hey, what's going on? And he actually was surprisingly, he looked kind of, I think that he was more bashful than I was expecting. I think he was like not totally comfortable being on TV, if that makes sense. He was like,
well, when someone has a dick pic online, I expect them to come in like, hey,
yeah.
He's like shy. I'm like, you're not shy. I've seen your dick.
Yeah, he was a little shy. That's the word I was looking for. So Catherine's saying like, when I first saw Joe, I was not attracted to him. No, not at all. I was like, I would rather date a lump on a log. But then he started talking to me, and I was like, we're sort of a little bit on the same wavelength sometimes.
When he started talking to me, he was using his hands, and I noticed he had a Rolex. So we're going to get married, pretty much. And then she's trying to cut the flowers that he gave her. She doesn't have a vase, so she wants to put them in a bowl. And she takes, like, a fucking bagel knife or something.
Yeah.
And starts cutting them right on the counter. Oh, Catherine! Catherine, I'm rooting for you.
I wanted to cringe, but I've also been there, so.
No! I mean, and the difference is I felt awful. $7,000 a month. Do not do that. I talk about how petty Danny is for turning on someone for like being late or like being snotty. I'll turn on you for cutting something on the counter like that. I mean, yeah. Those are gorgeous counters, girl.
Yeah, I used a cutting board. Okay, I used a cutting board, but I hated using a knife. I was like, I'm ruining my knife, but I must cut the stem. So they sit down, they're talking, and they're trying the meatballs, and Catherine announces that she likes the meatballs at Olive Garden more, so there's that.
And he's like, yeah, the breadsticks are good. Yeah. I like the breadsticks. She's like, do you dip them in the dressing? And he's like, of course. She's like, we have so much in common.
He's like, hey, you know, this garden here, this is a beautiful garden, yeah, you know, and I'm not fronting about it. And she's like, fronting.
It's like, yeah, it's a little Jersey talk. It's kind of how you guys say, you're.
The entire thing felt like
you make
awkward...
this dressing yourself, huh? You make it from your garden? She's like, I poured it from the plastic container right into there, and I think that's for creamer. And he's like, you know, you didn't have to tell me that, huh? You could have just said, I made it. She's like, yeah, well, I don't know how many girls you've dated from around here. And he's like, you're my first. She's like, lucky you.
I was like waiting for little text bubbles to pop up because the entire thing looked like an awkward episode of Blind Date. I was like, where is Roger Lodge?
It was awkward. I don't know. I'm glad that they didn't last. I'll just say that because I was like, no one can be that rich. Get him out of your house.
Yeah, this was, I would not say the chemistry was like pouring off the screen here.
No, get him out of the house, get a cutting board and get some trash bags. Okay, let's get your life in order. I'm coming over there, ma'am.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So now we go to Craig and Austin and Shep, and they're at a store, and they're going to be they're shopping for supplies for their camping trip. And Craig finds a book. He's like, look, How to Eat in the Woods. I mean, do we need a book for that? It's just chew, chew, swallow, chew, chew, swallow.
And Shep reads the cover of one, like, trapping, fishing, hunting, and trapping. He's like, I'm not trapping anything. I won't have my apartment there anymore. And Craig is like, is that a real cat? There's a cat doing the Blair Witch thing, like, just facing a corner. It's like sitting on top of a rack, but just, like, right in the corner staring at the corner. So creepy.
Yeah. It was definitely a Blair Witch cat. And at first I was like, stupid Craig, he can't even tell the difference between a real and a fake cat when that's obviously a fake cat. And then it moved. I was like, oh, who's the Craig now?
Yeah. And Austin only wants a headlamp. That's like all he cares about. Yeah. Is a headlamp.
Is he like, I mean, what is he like going into? Is he spelunking? Like does he even know what's going on here?
I don't know. He'll probably do like shadow puppet shows on a wall with his tongue just moving around. You know, it's like, look, my tongue's making a rabbit. My tongue is making the snake.
So so now Austin's talking about how he's had a rough couple of weeks and he lost who he thought was his best friend. So it's like, whatever, Austin. I don't think anyone really cares about like your emotional state after you cheated on Madison. And by the way, surprising development, this is the first episode all season where they didn't trot out the video.
I know, because instead, guess what he did the entire time of the story? He kept grabbing his dick, like in that video. Did you notice that?
I did not.
He kept just like reaching. It's like he can't keep his hand off his dick. He's like always reaching down and like pulling it like that.
Really like unpleasant. Maybe he got like a boner seeing like all the headlamp selections. Like,
no, I kept rewinding it. I think it. Yeah, the headlamps. He's like, oh yeah, I can't wait to make a puppet show with that thing.
Which head is it for? So Yeah. So then Austin gets a phone call from his original brewer. I think his name was Matt or something. And basically Matt was calling to say, can you get this inventory off my hands? You're three cases of Trop Hop, you dumbass. So Austin's going to be picking it up to bring it to the woods. He's like, well, I only have three cases because it's like way too expensive to make. So I'm taking it to the woods with me.
Yeah, loser. So then Shep is, you know, Shep has nothing going on in his life, so he has to talk about Catherine again. So he's like, Carsh, I talked to Catherine after her little meltdown, and I apologize for what I said. And Austin's like, what did you call her? And he's like, well, it was murmured. We see the clip of him going, she's a child. And he's like, but it was murmured under my breath, so it doesn't count. Fucking Southern charm that's the biggest thing. I said, yeah, she's a child.
I know. And meanwhile, there's like a woman working at the store who's just watching these guys so unimpressed. Like, you know that she's about to call up that barista at the coffee shop where Shep ordered a vanilla latte and just trade notes.
Yeah. It's like, thank God for privileged, moronic white guys coming in to buy their North Face and their canoes that they'll never use, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So they go over to Madison, who's got her own hair shop.
What?
Then we go over to see Madison, who's got her own little hair shop.
I thought you were impersonating the woman working at the camping store.
No, she just stood there by a canoe smirking at them like, you fucking morons.
We also should mention that Shep is really excited to get Austin out of town so that way he can find some mountain babes. Gosh.
Mountain babes.
Yeah.
So I wrote Madison, whisper hick. Because...
Whisper it.
I wanted to try and remember how to do her voice, but she has kind of a soft,
you know, I think she's like has her TV voice where she's like, look at me, I'm just so soft. And then when she gets mad, she's like, I'm gonna fucking kill you, Austin.
Yeah, you know that that's true. It's like Paris Hilton. Paris Hilton will speak all like until she gets mad.
Yeah.
Like, but so yes.
Thank you, that's hot.
So Chelsea and Madison are just like sitting there in the salon talking, and they're talking about like I rent a chair. It's like, and she's like,
I rented out that chair, and it's a lot of responsibility because now I can't leave because I'm thinking to myself, what about that chair?
Well, I rent out a chair, and you know what? I gotta do it different. I just gotta do it different.
It's like, yeah, well, I should do it too because there's more anxiety when I'm not around. I work 6 days a week.
And Chelsea's like, well, I'd work with a business partner because when you leave, that's one you can trust to put their heart and soul into it. Maybe you and I should do something together. Do you be open? You be open to that?
She's like, no, I don't know. I put everything into this. You know, everything I had. And now I'm 26.
Like, it's been 2 years. Oh, I love youth. It's like my whole life. She's talking about 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. This was also, by the way, the backdoor pilot for a new show called Chair Talk with Madison and Chelsea.
Aluminum Magnolias. So I really want this to happen. And also, no one really cares about my opinion on this, but I have to put it out there anyway. Chelsea, love your fedora. Love your mustard velvet fedora. I very rarely compliment... a fucking fedora. But God, you look so adorable, Chelsea. I like Chelsea.
I loved it too. I was, in fact, at one point I paused it to do something, and when I looked up, I was like, wow, that Chelsea is just a vision in black and yellow. She did. She looked great. I was like, Chelsea looks absolutely amazing right now.
Yeah. And so Madison's like, well, this relationship would be more serious than a marriage, I'll tell you about that. And Chelsea's like, hey, what's Austin gonna do about that?
Madison's like, well, we might have this bad boy open before his beer's on the shelf. I'm like, you will literally build a second chunnel before his beer is on the shelf.
Yeah, you will literally come up with a new white rain before his beers are on the shelf. Okay,
there will be fully functional and practical public transportation in Los Angeles before that beer is on the shelf.
Humans will evolve to the point of being able to breathe underwater before that beer is on the shelf.
We will have underwater cities and cities on Mars before that beer is on the shelf.
Totally. And she does this thing that's like the danger of any relationship when girls do this. And I learned this from Dr. Laura.
It's a shame. He has so much potential.
Oh, don't ever love a man for his potential, okay?
Yeah. And also, don't mistake a boner for potential, because I don't think Austin has much potential either.
potential's a dream. Okay, yeah. Don't do that.
So Madison's annoyed because she's basically talking about Shep, and she's like, Shep, fuck him. He said I was a white trash hairstylist, and I don't know the country club I grew up in was white trash. Okay, but I pay my taxes, and your parents pay yours.
You're a joke.
And Chelsea's like, well, Shep gets away with shit like that because he thinks he's on a different level. And Austin's just easily manipulated by them, okay?
Yeah.
And she's like, why wouldn't you shut that down, I told Austin.
And she's like, well, he's manipulated.
She goes, yeah, Shep has Austin pussy whipped.
It's like, I don't think you know what that means, but I'm enjoying you so far on this cast.
Yeah. I also always feel weird when if someone calls someone white trash and then their response is, yeah, I grew up in a country club. I'm like, is that supposed to make me root for you? I'm like, so you grew up around other people who call other people white trash. Got it.
Yeah, congratulations. So you're just another asshole. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
You should have just stopped it. I pay my taxes and your parents pay yours.
Yes. You know? Yes, exactly. How about I'm the one who's actually had a job in my life and showers on a regular basis.
Yeah. So then Austin is packing his traw pop. Craig is packing his fur robe.
Let's go on the RV.
And then Craig, this was my favorite musical part of it, because they're like, bum, 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 packing, packing, bum, bada, bum, bum, manly, manly. And then it gets to Craig packing his fur robe, and the music just goes, tink. Tink, 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 tink. He gets that, like, wooden block, that tinky wooden block.
Yeah, he gets a little percussion interlude.
I love this show.
So, Nate, the RV driver, he shows up with this Winnebago, or whatever they call it. I think it's a Winnebago, I'm not sure. So it's at Craig's house, and then Michael drops off Whitney at the RV, and Whitney, of course, arrives with his Louis Vuitton luggage. With his camping gear in it, which is hilarious.
Yeah, so Whitney.
And then Austin shows up in a Jeep, and he parks in Craig's driveway, and then he, like, goes to grab, like, the Trop Hop cooler out of the trunk, and the trunk, like, falls on Austin's head. He's like, God, I hate this car. God.
Yeah, that car hates you too, apparently.
Okay. The car was like, get out of my ass.
So then Shep comes limping in because he tore my MCO riding a mechanical bull. And then we get to see it. Whitney's like, Jesus Christ. Like, I really don't pay myself enough to be here.
Yeah. So they hit the road. They got 8 hours to go to the campsite, even though Shep's like, I think it's only 4 hours. And they just start just like shooting the shit. We see Whitney talking about being like his old bands that he used to be in. And he's like, my first band, mother, was Staple Gun. Yeah. I was brought in as a rhythm guitarist. I shredded like a motherfucker. Yeah, which was why I didn't stay in the band, because they wanted more of a stapling capability, and I was more of a shredder.
My next band was Hot Glue Gun. I was great in that one.
You should have seen me in an alligator clip. I was great in that.
I'm classically trained. I played in punk and heavy metal bands. I had the hair. I looked good. I was like the Bieber of my day.
Maybe you're familiar with my music from Three Hole Punch. I don't know.
Kill Craig. Kill Craig, Whitney.
Shut up, mother. I just got here.
Kill him.
Just got here.
At least make fun of him a lot and make him almost cry.
All right, mother, I'll see what I can do.
Did you just Manchurian Candidate Whitney?
No, I Bates Motel'd him. His mother's in his mind.
Oh, I thought that was Manchurian Candidate. I mean, I only saw the new Manchurian Candidate, which was way overlooked, where Meryl Streep had an amazing ice eating scene. Do you remember that when she's at a table eating ice? And she's like, you'll do what I say.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Yeah, that was really
so
good.
Then guess what Shep wants to talk about? Catherine some more. So he's like, can we talk to Danny about the Catherine incident? I was like, the Catherine incident.
Is that like a new Len Dayton book?
She said she's done with her. They really need to work it out. And Austin, who I finally agreed with for once, is like, dude, she didn't want to talk about it. She said she didn't want to talk about it. Why doesn't she have the right to not talk about it? Jesus Christ. And he's like, but if someone who's your friend and they tell you to buzz off, that's a slap in the face, Garsh.
And stop Craig's grabbing your dick, Garsh, right in front of my face.
Yeah, and Craig's like, we all do that to each other. And he goes, yeah, but they're different because they're women. And women are sensitive, and it hurts them. You know, women are weaker creatures. So God, does Shep have one scene where he's not just a total fucking pig?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that was the worst thing that he said, because men and women do, overall, generalizing, which is always dangerous, they do seem to process things differently. I mean, I can't just act like that doesn't happen. You know, it's true. People process things differently. So I get it. But yeah, when Shep says it, it always feels like a little icky.
Yeah. Oh, God, when Shep says anything, it's a little icky. Well, he could be like working in a gas station saying, Garsh, come again, have a nice day. And I'd be like, ew,
fuck you.
Ew.
Fuck you, I'm not supporting the oil industry anymore.
Yeah, then fuck you, you misogynist.
You misogynist fracker. So Shep is like, Garsh, I'm going to get a dog named Craig that I can discipline. So I forgot he's still going to be doing that. So now we go over to Mount Airy Lodge, which aka the Limehouse Plantation, where Eliza's with the horses, and guess what she's talking about? I cheated death. I turned her into Brittany, and I'm not mad at it.
Yeah.
It's like, the feeling of cheating death makes you live different. Now I want to leave this earth with peace and zero negativity.
And without a TV job, too, I'm assuming, because no one needs you on here to be nice.
Yeah, and I like how she wants zero negativity, but is also inviting Naomi over, because Naomi is like the negativity queen in the best possible way. She's like, ugh. Can I teach you how to go like this, Eliza? Ugh. Or as we say in French, hey.
French hugs. So Naomi's like, well, you know, it's like so crazy that she keeps texting me, but, you know, Cameron said that she explained to Eliza that her behavior is inappropriate, so I guess I'll give her another chance. And also, I'm really mad at Catherine right now, so bring her on!
Yeah, so they show up at this, I mean, it's this beautiful, like, you know, estate, and they're there, and there are all these horses. So they get on the horses, and Eliza's like, look out for armadillos! And I was like, what? And then they show an armadillo scurrying away. I was like, this is borderline amazing. I mean, just when you thought the fawn had become the unofficial nature mascot of Bravo, here comes an armadillo. And I'm like, whoa, where are we? St. Louis?
My God, you're still hung up on your St. Louis armadillos.
Long story short, when Ronnie and I went to St. Louis last year, we were in the Uber driving from the airport. And what did I see? I think I saw a dead armadillo on the side of the road, right? And I was like, was that an armadillo? And the Uber driver...
And I was saying, yeah, armadillos get caught on the grills of trucks all the time, you know? They're dragged, and it's really gross. And then you're like, how does that happen? And then the driver gave us a long lesson about how armadillos hop.
But no, but it was more like, I did not realize, I thought armadillos just sort of like lived in Texas or places where people had 10-gallon hats. And then like... all of a sudden, it's like, wait, there's armadillos in St. Louis? I was like, this shocked me. I had no idea. I did all the research and saw there was a whole migration of armadillos. I mean, I'm still, a year later, my mind is blown.
It's dirty blown. Northerner. So Eliza is talking about how she was in that plane crash and now she's going to be nice. And, you know, she was really under a microscope at Miss Pat's, and it wasn't really fair because everything she said or does or did that night was called out and it was judged way more than anybody else. I'm like, no, yeah. You were a fucking cokehead prick, okay? You hung out with Shep before, you got coked up out of your mind, and you acted like a fucking idiot. Don't try and blame everybody else for that. Say, I was an idiot. I'm sorry. I did coke with Shep. It's not like no one can understand that, you know?
Also... another reason why I think Eliza is really going to be like, she's not living up to her potential as a villain, but she's still doing shitty things. Like, for instance, when she coined her own sort of slang, and she's like, well, you know, I was supposed to go to the Bahamas, but I was running on lime time as usual. I'm like, no, lime time is not a thing. You don't get to do that. No one said Lime Time was a thing. No one ever said that. You may have come up with it, but don't try to make Lime Time happen, bitch. Do not make Lime Time happen, okay?
Oh,
more gosh. Like Lame Time than Lime Time.
So they're talking about Kat. Well, Naomi's honest, you know, as usual. She's like, yeah, you were just really uncomfortable, so you were probably overcompensating, and it came off. It's like, yeah, I don't know what that meant, but Cameron said I was just too much with Catherine. And Danny goes, yeah, well, stink face. Catherine has a trust issue with everybody. Like, I have an issue with her right now, okay? Like, I have an issue with her right now. I sent her a text, and I said, you spit on our mecca of relationships. That's it.
Do you know, Eliza was probably so horrified to hear that Catherine has trust issues only because she thought it meant that Catherine would no longer be entitled to her trust. I was like, oh my God,
I can't believe it.
I can't believe an heiress no longer has her trust and we're still hanging out with her.
And Naomi says, it makes me question, has she really changed? Oh my God, you guys are really being bitches right now, both of you. Like, seriously. And Danny's like,
I don't know. I don't know.
What did she do? What did Catherine do? This is like being so mad. No, I'll tell you why.
No, listen. I love Catherine. But if Catherine has a history of like never responding to texts or unreliably responding or disappearing or showing up late over and over again, I think the friends are entitled to being annoyed.
Being annoyed, yes, but making it into this, like, oh, let's go, like, consort with the enemy and talk as much fucking shit about her as we can and saying she hasn't really changed. I mean, it's too much for me. I can get being annoyed, but it's just, like, it's starting to go too far over a stupid fight. But then again, this is Bravo. Yeah. So Danny's like, you know, she was so... Oh, no. Liza says this. She's like, well, I've known her since we were real young. I mean, I knew her before she even met Thomas. And, you know, she was so sweet, but I know this because of my dad. You know, you're with someone that big, charming personality. And then before you know it, you're overshadowed. And you're over here like, hi, I'm here too. And it's hard to be with someone like that because you're like, hi. Aunt Limehouse and Ravenel, you can't get bigger than that. I mean, those are the biggest names in town. And I just see it different because microscopes. And I see what my dad's life did to us and what Thomas's life did to Catherine. It's unbearable, y'all. I was like, oh my God, this girl really thinks she's like Miley Cyrus.
I know. She's like, Dad and Thomas are definitely a top. I'm like, what type is that? Rich white dudes with like a life of privilege who treat women like shit? Yeah. So yes,
rich,
I guess
misogynist,
you're right.
Racist assholes who are handed everything in life. Yeah, I feel really bad for you.
Naming their dog Strom. So anyway, it's like, ugh. So anyway, now we go back to the RV, which at this point probably smells like a combination of like dip and fart. And so
Whitney says, he's like, smells great in here. Men, beer, fart.
This reminds me of being on the tour bus for.
Kill him. He's turned paperclip. His back. Kill Craig, Whitney. Now's your chance.
Give me time, mother. Give me time.
So the bros, they're all drinking Austin's beer because it's finally cooled down. Because earlier Austin tried to give one to Shep, and Shep was like, is this cold? Gosh, no. And he like gave it back. So Austin's like drinking his own trop hop. He's like, guys, I'm going to be sloshed by the time we get to this campsite. I hope we don't get into a tiff while I'm sloshed because that would be awful. Wow, my dick feels great right now. So good.
So Shep's like, well, don't worry, Austin. Even though you don't have Madison anymore, Chelsea will probably still give you a hair discount. And Austin's like, oh, jeez. I'm still depressed, okay?
Yeah, but infidelity kills a relationship. Like, she did things to you that most of us on this bus would be like, fuck you. You're dead to me. And if you see Naomi, would you make her call Craig, please? Because he's really nice and wants her back.
Yeah, I feel bad that she is still acting out from our relationship ending by being in a totally stable relationship with a very attractive man who has a career and an advanced degree. That's just like, I feel so bad for her. She's really spiraled.
Yeah. So they asked Austin what's up.
We should also, wait, by the way, we should also mention that before they started talking, we saw Craig trying to open a window and being unable to do it, he breaks the window and shockingly does not also break another tendon in his hand in the process. And then Whitney gets stuck in the bathroom. I'm like, wow, this is like this. The brain collective here is just like off the charts.
Yeah. And then they can't open the door to get out of the thing. Oh, God damn it, Scam Likely. Why does Scam Likely always call during a podcast? It's the weirdest thing.
You got a phone call?
Scam Likely. That mother effer. Okay, so yeah, so they start asking Austin about the relationship, and Whitney's like, "Oh, so you're officially broken up? Officially? No poking?" I said poking, and Austin's like, "No, no backsliding as of yet." And Shep's like, "Don't open the door like that. Get laid.
Don't leave the door open like that. Gosh." Go get laid, or as Mark Twain once said, go thine unto yourself, because comedy is not meant for those who are those on the theater.
So Whitney's like, I want to see screenshots of those texts. And Austin's like, you don't get to say anything about anything until you admit that you fucked Catherine this summer, Whitney. And he's like,
yeah, this is Austin's big moment. He thought he was really going to like nail Whitney, and Whitney just doesn't care. Like, okay.
So Cam calls for a wacky call with the boys. And they're like, yeah. We saw your rack. Whoa, gosh.
Yeah, yeah. Shep's like, it's like the Spanish Inquisition in here. Gosh.
So then over at Cam's house, she's one of those moms who puts her name, her baby's name in things and either frames them. I mean, the name is everywhere. It's like there's a pillow with the baby's name. There's a framed Palmer, you know, like Palmer in cursive frame. She's, you know, she's got a keychain that says Palmer.
Maybe it's so she can remember the kid's name. She's like, what's the name of that damn baby in my house again? Palmer, that's what it is.
Hi, you know what? I'm so sick of calling this thing a chip on my shoulder. Can someone get me a keychain that says Palmer? That'd
be great. She probably does it to remind Jason that he has a child. So, yeah, this just reminds you have a child, so you should maybe come home at 6 p.m. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, she calls Jason, and she's like, oh, Jason, you know, I've got a nanny interview. I'm so nervous. What kind of questions should I ask? And he's like, well, I guess we should know that she's good with dogs. She's like, it's not for the dog, Jason. He's like, gotta go.
So this woman named Barbara comes over for the nanny interview, and she's from a place called Annie's Nannies, which makes me laugh because it reminds me of Wetzel's Pretzels and Sherry's Berries. So I was like, oh, I don't know what it is. Something about rhyming companies make me laugh. Well, finally, remember Sherry's Berries? They were our very first sponsor, I think.
They were delicious. Sherry's Berries, Annie's Nannies. Use your code CRAPPINS for $10 off your first horrifying day of healthcare.
Annie's Nannies. isn't there like a pretzel place called Annie's or a cookie place or something?
Annie's, yeah.
There is?
Yeah, there is.
That's
you're confusing
probably why
me now, though. My mind is starting to go to pretzels, and I don't need that because I am on a diet. So thank you for that, man.
I know. Can I tell you something? I mean, I hate to be that person who's like on keto and then always talks about keto, but I literally had a dream last night that I made a huge ham and cheese sandwich, and right before I was about to eat, like I spent like 10 minutes making it and folding the ham so it had like a nice crinkle and stuff. And right before I was about to eat it, I was like, fuck, this has bread. I can't eat this. Like I dreamt about having a sandwich. That was my dream. And then I didn't even have the sandwich. This is sad. This is why I fucking hate diets.
Yeah, you're folding ham. I mean, have fun with your non-compassionate food. So Cam
and low stakes dreams.
So Cam starts like pestering this lady or pelting this lady with questions. You know, she's like, "What do you do if she's crawling up the? What do you do if she's trying to crawl off the fire escape? What do you do if she climbs into the fire? What do you do if she's trying to drive the car? What do you do if Palmer grabs a knife and tries to stab you with it?" Like, what kind of nightmares are you having over there, young lady?
I know, seriously. What do you do if Palmer gets reanimated as a doll named Chucky? What do you do then? Have you seen The Real World San Diego? Say yes or no.
So she's gonna get a nanny. Yay! And I kind of like this nanny. She's pretty cute.
I like her too. Although I did not like having to sit through yet another nanny interview scene on Bravo. But, you know, compared to vaginal rejuvenation and cryotherapy, you know, I'll take it.
Yeah, listen, I'm always about ignoring your children as much as possible. So I say, good for you, sister. Good so for you. Trip night. So it's the trip at night, and you know, here we go with these guys. And Shep's like, "How many girls did Craig invite?" Oh, and so they pull up to the campsite, and Craig's like, "Whoa, it's badass." Whitney's like, "How can a campsite be badass?"
Kill him, son.
By the way, you know that Craig was probably sitting there being like, I actually invited 7 girls, but I don't know if they can make it.
Time will tell. I told them to bring their sewing machines.
It's actually a pillow party. Part 2.
So the poor driver, Nate, has to show them how to get out of the thing because they can't get out of the RV.
They don't know how to open the door. Yeah. Do not know how to open the door.
So they're all excited and start setting up, and they can't make a fire. No one knows how to make a fire. Craig literally puts wood in the fire and then gets a lighter and just thinks that's going to do it.
Yeah.
He lights a huge log.
Yeah, he just puts it in there. And then he's like, he also has not bought enough wood. He bought like 3 logs. So he's like, well, I'm going to go into the wood to find some wood. I'm going to go in the woods to find wood. And then he's like, but first I'm going to have a beer. And he like pops open a beer and the cap just goes flying on the ground. Doesn't even pick it up. So you're welcome, Mother Nature. And then he's like, and then Craig's like, Shep is like, gosh, this is a disaster. You didn't get enough supplies. We need some newspaper. We need a million things because you didn't get enough supplies. I'm like, Shep, you're the one with like 5 trust funds. Why don't you order something off of Postmates for once? Just get some wood.
I know. Shep just sits there and does nothing. And just,
yeah, I mean, he has a torn MCL too, to be fair.
Who cares? You got it from riding a fucking bull in a bar, okay?
Yeah.
Doesn't count.
So Craig and Austin go on a quest for wood, and Craig's like, okay, this is what we need. Look, when you see a stick, pick it up. If you see a stick, pick it up. Which unfortunately has also been Craig's life mantra for about 20 years.
And Austin's just excited he gets to use his headlamp, you know. And yeah. Whitney's like, dude, your coal miner has stupid hat.
Mother, look at that hat. Mother. And then Craig is like, oh, I touched a slug. The slug was like, oh, I touched a Craig.
the slug is like, I'm going to have a party to get other people to touch that human for me because I don't want to do it.
So Shep and Winnie are just sitting at the fire watching from afar Austin and Craig go foraging. And Shep's like, gosh, those 2 jackals out there prowling around. Just jackals. Did you hear that, Winnie? I called them jackals. They're jackals. Jackals.
These guys are such jackasses. And then Craig is drunk, and he's just surly now. I love surly Craig drunk when he's not having any of it. You know, he's like, could you stop hating on everything for 1 second, you fucking asshole? And the driver's like, okay, I'm officially off now. Do you guys understand how to open the door if you need to get back in there?
Great. Bye. And so now, like, now there is actually a fire in this pit, and the pit has like a little grate over to cook things on, and Shep just loses his mind. He's like, oh gosh, we have to move the fire over. We have to move the fire over because it's not under the cooking grate. And Whitney's like, oh, bro, I talked to Mother, and Mother says just move the grate over. No, it won't move. It's hooked on the side. Don't you get it?
Idiot, it's hooked on the side because it's not supposed to be right over the fire because you're going to burn your food. You dope.
He's also just so exasperated by it. He's just like...
Because it's Craig. You know, he's like, Craig's so stupid. Why would he put the fire there? Now we have to move the fire. So then,
can you imagine relying on him for anything in life? Gosh.
So then Whitney's like, I'm a vegetarian, so I'm not eating that shit. Then bring a fucking veggie burger, Whitney. Jesus Christ.
I know, it's really not that hard, okay? It's called bring your own food.
Yeah, so they start fighting over who's going to cook the burgers, because now Shep has moved the fire and he's like dropping the burgers on there. And at first you're on Craig's side, right? Because Craig is just like, he's the only one who's done done any kind of prep for this trip or is like making any effort. But then Craig's like, Chef, stop. You just said I could cook the burgers. Relax. I'm going to cook them. And Chef's like, well, I think I've learned over the years that Craig kind of overestimates his cooking skills, like especially over open garsh. So Craig comes over and he's like, I'm doing it. And then he opens a packet of like salt, like adobo or whatever, and just sloshing it all over everything.
Yeah, like he like had an experience with the slug and now he just wants to salt everything. And it's just like, it is like, it is just like a shower of salt. And then of course Shep and Whitney explode. And Shep's like, whoa, that's too much salt. That's a lot of sodium. Gosh, gosh, Dr. Mario.
I don't want blood pressure and cancer. And Austin's like, whatever. You go call the farm and ask them if they used any pesticides on your corn, you wuss.
Yeah. And Craig starts cursing at Whitney, like, shut the fuck up, Whitney. You're such a fuck and whatever. Craig's like, he's like, it's so embarrassing to be associated with you guys. Anyway, gotta go tend to my finger, which I permanently ruined trying to stick a butter knife through a wall.
Whitney's like, what's wrong with him? He's like, don't you love when the guys who weren't on the sports team sit and talk shit on the sidelines? And Chef's like, we were on sports teams. We were on sports teams that our dad sponsored while you were cooking, you doofus.
You doofus jackal. Look at that jackal. He's such a doofus. Gosh. And then Craig goes, I was on the sports team too. I cooked after sports. And so many varsity letters.
I have more varsity letters than any of you. And then Chef is like, gosh, he's like my little brother. I was such a dick to him. I loved it. I just couldn't help it.
It's kind of a funny moment because it's like, you know, Shep is being very self-aware at this moment, oddly enough, because he's like, I can't help it. I have to be a dick to him. And yet he's not going to stop. Just because he's self-aware, he is not going to stop, which I thought was actually hilarious.
Shep's just one rude of those losers mean, that still thinks hilarious. He's funny like a teenager, you know? But your brother is happily married and like making his own money. So I don't know really that you're on the winning end of this, but okay.
So now Craig is looking, he's like, where's the corn? I have a varsity letter in corn finding. And Whitney's like, no, bro, this corn's my dinner. You can't have it. It's my fucking dinner. And then Craig is like, then you can't have a burger then. It's like, Craig, I don't think you understand how this, like, this logic is. He's having the corn because he doesn't want the burger. So you can't threaten him with not having the burger if he's going to have the corn.
So then Austin starts getting mad for Craig. And he's like, I knew that they give other dudes shit, but I didn't know that this was the right roast of Craig Conover. Like, this is supposed to be about me healing.
I'm like, it's Shep and Whitney in the same place on a vacation with Craig. It is the Craig roast. That's what happens when they go on vacation. They just rake him over the coals. And Craig's like, you guys baffle me. You baffle me.
You're over you know the else? Limit.
You know what else baffles me? Leaves. Why do they fall?
Word jumbles.
Those baffle me. Chef's like, don't play the victim.
Tops on beers that you have to actually use an archaic device to get off instead of just twisting.
Pine cones.
Ice cream cones.
Snow cones. Traffic cones.
So Whitney, they're just cracking up at him, and he's piss. Like, he's finally had it. Whitney's like, come on, cook your cancer. come on over here. And Craig just grabs a hot dog and he throws it at Whitney. And then Whitney's like, dude, you got hot dog juice on my glasses.
My Warby Parkers. And, you know, the thing is that, like, they are such fuckers to Craig because, of course, they're like, they're poking and prodding. And then Shep is like, don't play the victim, Craig. And Craig's like, you push and you push and you push. And you push, and you push, and you push, and you push, and you push.
Of course, shut up. Say it, spit it out.
I have a varsity letter in being pushed, so I get it.
And Chef's like, well, we're here to give each other shit. That's what we do. We're by a fire. What are you supposed to do? Sit around and compliment each other like you would do? He's like, I'm going to bed. Fuck off. So he marches into the RV and just texts.
By the way, there are a huge number of people who sit around a fire and compliment each other. For some people, that's the benefit of going to a campsite, is that they sit around and they bond and say the things that they love about each other.
Yeah, except for gross.
And don't forget that also, after Craig throws the plate at Whitney, Whitney's like, "Damn, Craig, what's wrong with you?" As if they hadn't just been ridiculing him for like 3 hours straight. And then Chip goes, "Be nice, be nice." Even though they've been the biggest dicks.
So Austin hates them too. He's like, "You guys are idiots. You're like the Muppets in the balcony that just dog everything." You know?
Which is...
I know them personally. Fozzie. Yes.
Fozzie Bear finally speaks up against Waldorf and Sadler, whatever their names are.
So they won't even help him put up a tent. So Austin just puts up his tent. He's like, "Fuck you guys."
And now he's like, "No, I'm realizing that like this trip was supposed to help me get over Madison, and they don't even care about that. I mean, these guys are assholes with friends like these. I don't know if I need friends." Well, how's it go again?
You need Shep to at least help you finish that saying. You know?
Yeah, which is implying that he's going to now go back to Madison because he realizes that he's been steered astray by Shep.
Yes, and now this is going to be – Shep just manipulated him into being mad at Madison.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Whoops. So, yeah. You know, not a lot happened, but I was actually really entertained by that camping trip. I thought I was going to be like the most boring thing, but watching, you know, Shep get petulant and Craig also just like be like adorably useless – really worked for me.
And that brings us to the end of Southern Charm.
Yes.
Everybody, now, thank you so much. Wait, we have before, one thing before we go. We yes. got a listener spotlight, everybody.
Oh, I thought you were about to end the episode. I was like, no, stop the presses. You guys, listener spotlight's back. For those of you guys who don't know, listener spotlight is when we turn the podcast over to you. You get to tell us a little bit about yourself or what's on your mind, etc. It's on patreon.com/watchrockrappin. So without further ado, I almost forgot to play the theme song and couldn't let that pass. Today's comes from Rebecca Shack, who's given us many listener spotlights. We really appreciate that. And by the way, if you support us at the listener spotlight level or above, definitely send in your spotlights. We put calls out for them on Patreon. Sometimes we'll send messages. So don't overlook that. We don't want your donations and support to go for nothing. We really do want to hear from you. So here is Rebecca from Minnesota.
Hi guys, Rebecca Shack here. Because I'm good at following directions and in honor of your upcoming trip to Minneapolis, I thought I'd give you a little listener spotlight. I haven't sent one in recently because I feel like I'm the only person that does listener spotlight, but heck, why not? Anyway, I think the last question was, who do we think called Radar online on the dog case? And I think I've come up with a new culprit that I don't think has been mentioned yet. And I think it's, yes, Mikey. Mikey's really the only one who's bringing it, as far as I'm concerned, and he realizes the importance of a season-long controversy. And he knows Erica Jane's obviously not going to get there with pat the puss. So I don't know. That's my take. We'll see. Anyway, can't wait to see you on Saturday. It's going to be super hot here. So sorry, Ronnie. But it should be a good time. See you soon. Bye.
Oh, thanks for that. I actually was sweating the last time when it was 60 degrees. So you know what? I think I'm just full of toxins and I earned every bead of sweat that comes out of me.
Yeah, I think that's by the way, Rebecca, I think that is a very bold a theory, and I appreciate it because you never know who might be doing these things. And it's about time we put the focus on Mikey, because you know, you're right. He could just be a loyal servant to Erica. Who knows?
Yeah, I like that theory.
And also, sorry for not playing your spotlight until now, after our Minneapolis show. So people are like, wait, they're coming back to Minneapolis? No, Rebecca sent it to us before we went there.
Everybody, thank you so much for being here. Go grab your live show tickets, your t-shirts, your bonus episodes, your videos. We will be back tomorrow with Real Housewives of New York City.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
The beauty of it all is the beauty-obsessed big sister you've always wanted. Hosted by Vic Hope with Superdrug, the beauty of it all takes a backstage look at the beauty industry, the issues facing it, and all the new news you've been craving. Plus a whole host of celebrity guests and industry experts.
I want girls to know that just because I've been on this, like, glamorous show, my life isn't just suddenly fixed just because I've got blue tick next to my name.
Join us as we discuss issues such as how veganism is transforming the beauty world.
I didn't realise that so many of the brands that I'm using on my face are vegan anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Search The Beauty of It All now on Acast, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Meet Kevin. Kevin is wearing his best shirt, the one with the ducks on it. His cologne, exceptional. His hair, majestic. Tonight, she's coming back to Casa del Kev. She opens the Pinot Grigio. He puts on some smooth jazz. He feels the absolute business. But wait, has Kevin prepared for every eventuality? Of course he has. He's used the Odor Eater's range of insoles and sprays with 24-hour protection from foot odor and sweat, meaning he's ready for anything. Free your feet with Odor Eater's.